أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب الله رب العالمين وأبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله في حديث المعراج، قال يا أحمد، هل تعلم ما ميراث الصوم؟ قال لا. As we said, we will look at the hadith of Mi'raj to understand the importance of fast after the special nights, which was the night of the Shahadat of Amir al-Mumin, also the night of Shab al-Qadr. So we return back to that hadith that we started. We hope that we finish in a couple of days. So the hadith of Mi'raj, to remind us again what we have mentioned so far. When Prophet went on Mi'raj, Prophet was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you know what is the mirath of fasting? What is the heritage, or what is the essence of fasting, basically? Heritage is something that you leave behind. What remains? You know, what remains of fasting? What is it really? What you get out of it? He says it is eating less and speaking less. So when a person is fasting, he eats less and he speaks less as well, obviously. Then the speaking less aspect will allow him to gain a hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person speaks less, automatically he will be provided with hikmat. So there's a relationship of speaking and hikmat. So speaking less will bring that for him, a very practical measure. Obviously, hikmat requires us to study and investigate and learn. That is also there. But something that is very practical is speaking less. When a person who speaks less, it's commendable that a person should speak less. Or if he speaks, now when we are saying it's commendable that he speaks less, that doesn't mean that somebody asks him, he is not replying. You know, Maulana said speak less. The hadith says speak less. That's being rude, you know. Instead of this becoming a positive act, it could become a negative act. So, speaking when it's required, and speaking for a purpose, and a purpose and intention should be there when a person gives that speech. Mulla Quliya Hamadani, who was the ustad of all of these Sheikh Ansari in Akhlaq. Sheikh Ansari, we are talking about 16th century. Sheikh Ansari was the founder of the Usuli thought. You know, many of the books in the Hawza that we have today is of Sheikh Murtaza Ansari. And he was a great scholar of 16th century. The Makasib, the Bay, all of these works are of Sheikh Ansari. And he used to give Dars-e Kharij. Mullah Quli Hamadani was a student of him in fiqh. And Mullah Quli Hamadani was the ustad of Sheikh Ansari in akhlaq. Very renowned scholar, and all of the chain of the Shia tariqah of spirituality, which is of Allama Tabatabai, Qazi Tabatabai, Ayatollah Shustari, Mullah Quli Hamadani, Malik Jawad Aghai Tabrizi, they all returned back to Mullah Quli Hamadani. Mullah Quli Hamadani, when he used to give lessons, he would speak very slowly. I wonder whether you have listened to any of the Bahth al-Kharij of the Maraji, like Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani. I wonder whether you have heard his speech. You know, if you could, you could YouTube it. You could listen to his speech on YouTube of Wahid Khurasani, or Aghai Fazil Lankarani, or all of these Maraji Ayats. They speak very slowly. Slowly means that not the voice, but the style, the method. You know, they will say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tonight we have gathered here, like that. So the students complained to Mullah, saying that a lesson that could be taught in 45, a lesson that could be a 20-minute lesson, a lesson that could be taught in 45, 20 minutes, you take 1 hour. A lesson that could be taught in 20 minutes, you take 1 hour, because you speak so slowly. Bismillah. Then Mullah Quli Hamadani says that every word I say, I do intention qurbatan illah before I say that. So that's why it takes time for me. I think about what I'm saying. We have gathered here tonight. Obviously it will take time, right? So Mullah speaking less, speaking with intention, speaking with nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are saying speaking less, doesn't mean that a person goes and he doesn't speak to anybody. He goes to masjid, he just be very cold, right? We just recited the quality of Amirul Mumineen. You know, he used to sit with people. When everybody was quiet, he would even initiate the talk, right? So one have to have sort of like a balance. One should not be an extremist, either that side or that side, you know, in the positive way or in the negative way. Hikmat will be given to him. After that hikmat will bring about ma'rifah, you know, knowledge, ma'rifat and understanding. That ma'rifat and understanding will bring yaqeen. This yaqeen will bring about a state of a person where he doesn't really care how he does the morning, whether he's happy, whether he's, you know, where he's carefree, so to speak, because of yaqeen that he has in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the provider of everything, and he's the caretaker of everything. And this is the maqam of ar-radi'een, you know, those who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. You know, Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person reaches to this maqam, I will provide him with three qualities. Three qualities will be given to him. Number one, shukr without jahala. Number two, a dhikr without forgetfulness. He will be always in the state of zikr. And the third thing that we said we will discuss is a muhabbat. I will provide him muhabbat. A muhabbat la yu'athir ala muhabbati. And it will have no effect, no ta'thir of muhabbat of any al-makhluqeen, of makhluqeen. Any of the muhabbat of makhluqeen will not affect him. His love will be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His love will be only for God. None of the other love will have. Now once again, we have to be very careful. This doesn't mean that we will not have kindness, or we will not love our children, or we will not love our family. No. That love will become much stronger. That love will be true love. Not just a sentimental love.
That will be a true emotional, intellectual love, right? Compared to, for example, a very sentimental love when a person says to his child, oh, you are my father, you are my, you know, grandfather. He's not really that, but because of the sentiments that we have, a person says that. You know, it will not be, but when he's saying something, he really means it. When Prophet says, Umme Abiha, it is not out of sentiments, but that is true love that is based on intellect, on aql. You know, Prophet is not a person who is of sentiments. He's above that. You know, sentiments is for those person, you know, those who only believe in the, horizontal plane. On this worldly plane, who only dwell in this dunya, they are very sentimental. And they are really moved with sentiments. See, there's one thing which is called emotions. Emotions are based on intellect. Sentiments are not based on intellect as such. There's a relationship with sentiments and emotion, but emotions are, it roots, the root of emotions are aql. And it really depends that what sort of aql a person have for that emotion to be stronger. For instance, I'll give you an example. The watch of my father, it's very sentimental to me. It's so sentimental that I will fight with my brother to have that watch. If I am emotionally attached to my father, I will not fight for that watch. Because the love of the brothers is more important. See? But I'm giving a sentimental value to that thing. I'm being attached to that. For that, I'm even sort of like, you know, being careless of what my father, what will hurt the father or not. Many of us are very sentimental. You know, all of the, especially in the West, what we see, people are very sentimental. If something happens, oh, they give in charity, so on and so forth. But in the true sense, you know, will they give that charity when they are suffering and when they are in pain as well? No. Now, for instance, we talk about, environment. We talk about ozone layer. We talk about, you know, carbon in the atmosphere, right? But at the same time, we have a laptop. We have an iPad, we have an iPhone, we have all of the technology that is hampering and destroying the atmosphere. You know, we have a, you know, 6-valve car or whatever, right? All of those things which are detrimental to the environment, we have that, but at the same time, we are campaigning for Greenpeace, right? That's a very sentiment. It's not emotion at all. So, muhabbat is something that is based upon aql. A ashiq, a person who, a lover, a true lover, you know, is the most intellectual person. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he had love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loved Allah, right? And he is the most intellectual. You know, it's not that love, passion, and that love is blind, as they say. No. Love is blind because the aql doesn't have the capacity to understand what love is. That is why it is blind. Right? If someone says that this is what Imam Hussein did, they will say, this love is blind. Right? But they don't understand. They don't have the capacity to really comprehend what that true love is for which Imam Hussein sacrificed. That could be understood with heart. That is something to do with our qalb, with our soul, with our spirit. Where aql becomes, you know, paimal. Where aql sort of can't go any further there. As Jibreel says, I can't go any more further. I will burn my wing. So for that love, for a person to really comprehend and understand, you know, that has to be with the heart. That's where the person goes. The aql kind of becomes limited there. So a true love, you know, when the hadith of Miraj is saying that I will provide him with a love that he will not love any other makhlukin, or no makhlukin, no creation's love will overpower the love of God. this doesn't mean that he will love less for his children, or he will love less, you know, he will not love his neighbor, where the Prophet is emphasizing love thy neighbor. You know, that love will show its true color, and that love will be a true love when he says that, you know, that he loves his children, he would really love them in the true sense. You know, so here, let me just continue. What will happen with this love? وَأَفْتَحْ عَيْنَ قَلْبِهِ إِلَىٰ جَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. And he will open the heart, the eye of the heart, or the heart, for this person when he gives that love to the Adama, to the sovereignty, and to the Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that he will be witnessing the Jalal and Azmat of Allah everywhere. He will be in his presence. La yumkinu firaru min hukumatik. Ahata bi kulli shay. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone who is all encompassing. He's all encompassing in every act of that person. He, wherever he is there, there is the hukumat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees nothing but Allah. And this happens with love, rather than hukumat as a tyrant, ruler. Or like, oh, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and I will be punished. No. Punishing, hellfire, reward, it goes to a certain limit. But love goes higher than that. You know, when a person becomes a lover, you know, hellfire doesn't really, you know, count. As Hazrat, in the Dua Kumail we recite, right? You know, if you put me in the hellfire, I can bear that. But how about the separation from me to you, O Allah? I cannot bear that. So for a lover, hellfire and reward of Hur al-Ain or of Jannah, it doesn't really work. It doesn't move him. What moves him is the unveiling of the face of the beloved. If the beloved unveils gradually, you know, as the hadith of the Prophet says, when my lover comes closer to me, I start to unveil myself. I become mahram to him, right? And I start to unveil. The more I unveil, he starts to love me more. Because the beauty of Allah is infinite. The Jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no had to the Jamal of Allah. In Munajat of Shabaniya, we recite, you know, how is it possible that I could face azab in the hereafter, where you have always shown me the Jalal of your Jamal of yours. You have shown me beauty in this dunya. Whatever you have shown us, isn't it? Allah have shown his beauty compared to, you know, something that is ugly. Our children, our father, our mother, the ziyarat, the ibadah, these are all beauty. This is beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has shown us all our life beautiful things. Then so in the Munajat of Shabaniya, Hazrat Amir is connecting to Allah. And he says, oh Allah, you have shown me beauty in this dunya. How can I expect that you will show me, you know, azab in the hereafter, or something that is ugly in the hereafter? You know, I have this husn zan. You know, I have this, you know, benefit of doubt upon you. And I have the right to have the benefit of doubt. You know, how clever. Al-mumin al-kayyis. Mumin is very clever. You know, how he's communicating with Allah. You know, he's dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. Right? Aghay Jawadi Amali, when he came to New York to attend the world religious seminar or, you know, firm that they had. Every few years they have this. In this he said that, you know, in our school, it's a long sort of story, many things happened when he came here, and how he looked, he gave a sort of like a report when he came back to Hausa, when he returned from New York. Just to cut the long story short, in that he mentions that for the school of Shias, we have, you know, three things. One is the Quran, you know, the other is Nahjul Balagha, and we have the Sayfa Sajjadiya and the Duas. And in these Duas, you know, the person, the individual, we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. We connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. and we do sort of like, you know, we communicate between us and Allah in a very lovable way. You know, like, Aashiq wa Maashiq, ya guftugu. Oh Allah, if you know, in haramtani faman dalladhi yarzuqani wa in khadaltani faman dalladhi yansuruni. You know, oh Allah, if you do not provide me, who is there to provide me risk? It is you. So you got to provide that. You know, it's like naz. You know, it's like a person is kind of, you know, trying to be, how shall I say, what do you say in English? You know, is behaving, is what do you, what is that word? You know, being like a naughty, you know, like spoiled, you know, mischievous, you know, in a kind of like way. He's trying to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that fashion. So that is muhabbat. That comes with love, you know. And at the same time, this love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing. And a love where He will be witnessing, where He will be seeing the jalal and the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, فَلَا أَخْفِيَ عَنْهُ الْمَخَاسِ. And after that, He will not hide anything from the abd, from that person, of the khalq, of the creation, that ilme khas of the creation, it will be provided to him, you know. Ilme khas khalqi, you know, that ilme khas, that special and specific knowledge of the creation, that it is there, it will be provided to this person. To which person? To the person which begins with that fasting. A person who fasts, he speaks less, he eats less. Hikmat, Ma'rifat, Yaqeen, Radiyin, three qualities, Shukr and Zikr and Muhabbat. And then now all of these things, when Muhabbat comes for him, when this Muhabbat comes for him, all of these things are been given to him, right? And a knowledge of every shay, of everything. And this is how the Masumin alayhim salam, they had this knowledge, you know, because Allah provided this knowledge to them. They were aware of each and everything. Said Qazi Tabatabai, Ustad of Allama. You know, he had like 40 or more children. Said Qazi had many children. Some of them were scholars, some of them became businessmen and stuff. He had like probably four wives or anything, you know, because they died in when he was still alive, and then he got married and he had like 40 or more children. One of the child was very much into ulume gharibe, you know, in abjad, in ilme jafr, you know, throwing the dice, trying to find out things, Ouija board, calling the spirits and all that, right? This ulum, it's a science, and it's a valid science. Some of the maraj say it's haram. Some of them say, you know, it doesn't entertain that. It comes under the category of ulum, you know. So his son was into it. And Agha Qazi used to say, Baba, you know, why are you into this thing? Do your lessons, you know, do your usul, do your fiqh, you know, do your tafsir, all this, you know, numerology, and it's nothing, it's worthless, it's useless. Why are you into that? I remember when in the month of fasting, we used to go to the Muassasa Isra of Agha Jawadi Amali. We used to have a class with Agha Parsania, who was Ustad for hours in Shere Manzuma, the text of in philosophy of Agha Sabzawari, Mulahadi Sabzawari. And this is before Agha Jawadi has a masjid now, where he leads prayer every day now. They built the masjid, he has his own Husainiya masjid. But previously he has to have an office there. And in the month of Ramadan, it was only in the month of Ramadan we used to have lessons in his office. Otherwise, we used to do it in Haram and the different places. So Ai Parsa used to say, let's do it there at the Zuhr prayer. And Ai Jawadi used to lead the Zuhr prayer. And in the month of Ramadan, he would do all the Nawafil, you know, all of the Nawafil of Zuhr, all of the Nawafil of Asr, and then he would lead the prayer. And then we used to get the opportunity to sit with him. So we used to show off with him. You know, we say, we are doing falsafe, you know, we are doing philosophy, you know, of Mullah Hadi Sabzawari, you know, it's like, because we used to show off. Then he would say, dar fiqh chi mi khonit? He was like, in fiqh, what you are reading. We said, ay baba, you know, we came here, want to show off. And he's asking about fiqh, about halal and haram in ahkam, you know. Obviously, that is of more value, right? Then we said darfiq luma mikonim, you know, which is one of the, you know, texts that, you know, we were studying at that time. Then next year, after one whole year, once again the manzuma was continuing. The philosophy text, it takes long time, right? If we are still studying that, then I made the same mistake again. I said, we are studying falsafe, share manzume with your ustad, with your student, Aghai Parsania. He said, dar fiqh chi mikhoni? He said, Aba. Still, you know, haven't really, you know, developed or progressed in my being. And it's the same mistake again. He said, dar fiqh chi mikhoni? I said, okay. You're doing makasib. You know, it's a celibate, for example, right? So, Aghai Qazi, you know, that's what it is. It's halal and haram. That's where it begins from. Aghai Bahjat, when we used to ask him for zikr, you know, Aghai Bahjat, give us some zikr, some names of Allah, so that when we read that, you know, boom, you know, we could have that boost and we can reach, we can become arif, you know. In one tasbih, we can become arif, insan-e-kamil, you know. He would say, be risale-amaliye amal kardid, you know, have you acted on risale-amaliye? Do you have risale-amaliye? Which tawziul masail, right? The practical laws of Islam. Do you act, do you have that? Do you read that? I said, okay, fine, we just go. Many times, right? So it's halal and haram, right? That's what it is, right? So here, Aghai Qazi would say that, why are you into this? You know, throwing dice, trying to find out what alif means, what is the number of alif, if you add that, what that zikr comes about, you should do that much amount of zikr and this whatever. So he was stuck. His son says, I was stuck in one of the, you know, theorems, in one of the sums of ilm jafr, and I couldn't figure it out, what's going on. So my father was passing through my hujra where I was sitting, and I was trying to figure it out. I was stuck. So he comes and then he asked me to do something, you know, in terms of the mechanics of it, in the methodology that I was trying to practice. And then I solved that problem which I was having. I got that number which I wanted, you know, in that. And I was shocked. He says, father, you never studied this book, but how can you do it? There's something to do with from inside. Ilm is ladunni, you know, is huzuri, is by presence. If a person have that love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things will be provided to him. He should have that passion and love. And really it's Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which really brings that, that ignites that passion. That energy of love is through Imam Hussein. You know, if we really bring that love of Abu Abdullah in our hearts, you know, and which is easier for us because we could appreciate that. And then with that love, we will be able to understand the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the plain of Karbala, there was not only one Hussein. There were 72 Hussein. Each and every person have become Hussein in the love of Hussein. And Hussein was in love of Allah. He was fani in the love of Allah. So they were all fani in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we recite in the ziyarat, you know, yutahabbuna or, you know, muhibbuna fillah or something like that. You know, it says the one who were in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they were like that. So the criteria is the love. The factor is the factor of love. A true love. When that comes in, that then it sort of, alaykum salam, then it, you know, plays its magic. Then it does its trick. And this is what we should ask for. Munajat al-Muhibbin, you know, of the Munajat, the 15 Munajat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, excellent Munajat. You know, it is for us to read. It is for us to really bring these Munajat into our life. You know, it's good we do every Thursday night Dua Kumail, but it's sometimes good to read few lines of other Munajat as well before Dua Kumail and a bit of translation. Aghai Hasanzade Amali used to say, we have a treasure. You know, zakhira hai hamare paas duaon ka, right? We have a treasure of duas. If a person wants to, you know, begin his day by reciting the duas that we got, he will never leave the house. He will be just reciting the duas. 1 hour before sunset, 1 hour after sunset, 2 hours before. You know, there's duas and duas and duas. So they ask Aghai Hasanzadeh, there are so many duas. There's Iqbalul Amal, you know, Misbah, you know, Misbahul Munir, you know, Miftahul Fala, Mafatihul Jina, so many dua books. You know, if you put one shelf, the whole shelf could be of all dua books that we got. Different duas. There's not like repetition. It's not like one Mafati reprinted over and over again. No. All different duas, right? So they ask Aghai Hasanzadeh Amali, that we have so many du'as, was which one to recite. He said, at least once in the lifetime, a person should recite all the du'as that have been sent by Masumin alayhi salam. At least one time. A du'a before going to sleep, in Mafati is there. At least once in our lifetime, we should recite that. And then we should go for other du'a, then other du'a, then other. One should really bring those du'as into one's life. So,
Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So you have the munajat of muhibbin, of the lovers, as the fourth imam have talked about. You know, munajat arifin, munajat tawabin, munajat shakin, right? There's a munajat of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should be recited to really look into. Now, you know, how can we really bring that love? As we said, one is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that factor. In another hadith, we find that the way that one could install this love in oneself is by the practice of the wajibat, you know, wama, as it says, wama yataqarrabu ilayya 'abdun min ibadi bi shay'in ahabba ilayya mimma iftaradtu alay. Whatever I have make farida, I have made responsible for them, those things which are responsible for them, if they fulfill that, if they are fulfilling their responsibilities, their farizas, you know, through that they are coming closer to me. Through that they are coming closer to me, and I really love that. You know, I love that thing. So through wajibat. If our salat becomes intact, all of the other things fall in its proper place. We have to make our salat correct. If our salat becomes good, all things will be fine. That is why there's so much emphasis on our wajib prayer, praying on time, trying to pray it properly. Yes, we might make errors in recitation of du'as, the zamir, you know, up, you know, kasra, and we have to be very careful. You know, yes, Allah looks at the heart of mu'minin and mu'minat, no doubt. But when I am coming here to recite, you know, I should read it once or hear it once so that I do not make that mistake. You know, one have to really practice that. You know, next year now, when the month of Ramadan would be coming, I will be given the opportunity to recite some du'as. I should start practicing it now, listening it over and over again, so that I recite it correctly. Because sometimes when we are reciting, you know, instead of attracting the mercy of Allah, we are attracting the ghazab of Allah. So there has to be, you know, we have to be very careful. You know, we cannot recite the du'a of which is mustahab to be recited in the restroom while we are breaking fast. The du'a of restroom is for that place. The du'a of breaking fast is here. It's not like, oh, Maulana, everything is du'a. And Allah looks at heart. So the du'a of bathroom, I will recite it when I'm eating food because Allah is looking my heart. It is du'a. No, it just can't be like that. Right? So, yes, we have to be careful and much, much more careful in our wajibat. You know, our makhraj, our pronunciation of hamd, our qul wallahu ahad, you know, our zikr of ruku and sajda, you have to really, you know, rectify them, correct them. As we have, alhamdulillah, you know, mu'mineen and mu'minat are here whose Arabic is good. We can ask them, you know, is this the right pronunciation or not? Correct our prayers. We could listen and correct it, you know. So therefore, Allah says that's one of the ways is through that. And then the other thing is ilayya bin nafila. Then after that, لا يتقربوا إليّ بالنافلة حتى أحبه. And then through nawafil, mustahab prayers that are there, we have to bring that into our life. Yes, before Zuhr, it's too much. You know, 8 perhaps we are too busy. Before Asr, again 8 too much. At least after Maghrib, you know, there's 4 rakat. After Isha, the Fajr one, the nawafil of Layl, the night prayers. Especially now that we are awake, you know, for having sahri, we could do at least, you know, not all the 11 perhaps, just 2 rakat maybe, 3, 4. Gradually we have to, you know, improve it slowly and slowly, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma nawwir zahiri bi ta'atik wa batini bi muhabbatik. وقلبي بمعرفتك وروحي بمشاهدتك وسر الاستغلال اتصالي